to all my friends is that all of my issues, it's-a me, Mario. Woohoo! Mamma mia! You guys, you're number one. Woohoo! Are you number one? Ho ho! Wait to see it, bro. Here we go.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen of the internet. Welcome to All of My Issues. In this episode, episode 13, we talk about the Pittsburgh Wizard World that we went to last weekend. Also, we talk about Doctor Strange. We've seen the movie. We give you our impression of it, what we thought about it, what our thoughts were from it, what we think it might mean for the future of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And we also talk about some of the past week's TV series that we enjoy watching. But first, let's talk about Geek Fuel. Geek Fuel, if you're anything like us, and let's face it, you probably are if you're listening to this, you enjoy geeky things, and one of the best ways to get your monthly geek on is to subscribe to Geek Fuel. Geek Fuel will send you a box monthly filled with comic book, gaming, sci-fi, and pop culture related material. Right now, if you go to our website, allofmyissues.com, and click the Geek Fuel link, you can save $3 off your Geek Fuel subscription. Use those $3 to buy somebody a nice Christmas present. All right, now that we've got that out of the way, let's get on with the podcast. Enjoy. Hello, internet, and welcome to All of My Issues. I'm Rick.
I'm Sam.
I'm Chris.
And today we're going to talk about the Pittsburgh Comic-Con. We just came back from the Pittsburgh Comic-Con a couple days ago, and we wanted to let you guys know what we thought about it, how we felt about the guests, basically the whole experience in general. I guess we'll start out. I got to meet Charlie Cox, Daredevil from Netflix's Daredevil series. And he was a very pleasant guy to talk to. Nice to see him. Chris, you got to meet Evan Peters.
I did.
Yeah. How was that experience?
He was delightful. Was very warm and nice and talkative with my son, which goes a long way with me.
Yeah, so. I can see that.
Also, sure. Might be the first time I've ever met a celebrity that I was not tongue-tied for whatever reason. I just said what I had to say, and it was fine, and his mom laughed a lot.
And if you can get the mom to laugh,
yeah,
that's
good. I'm in.
Yeah, you're in.
I'm Evan Peters' new dad. I don't know.
He's not aware of it yet, but...
She's not aware of it, but...
But no, I enjoy that, too. And I would say the same thing with Charlie Cox. I had my son there, and he definitely interacted with my son quite a bit, And that's always cool. Although my son hasn't had the opportunity to see Daredevil, because I'm not really sure if I want him to see. That's a little bit of a violent show, so I haven't really decided.
I'm a terrible parent. Connor's watched the first 5 episodes.
Oh, has he really?
Yeah.
The only I think he'd be okay with it, except for that one scene with the Kingpin. Spoiler alert: where the Kingpin basically crushes that guy's head in.
Yeah, Connor's seen worse. So.
As you see, okay.
I told you, I'm a terrible parent when it comes to that. So I start movies with him and then it's like, Connor, I can't say, yes, okay, yeah. Okay, their heads are exploding. Okay. Walking Dead, you're going to be scared. You better leave the room. No? Okay, all right, watch it then. Fine.
There you go.
I guess we're doing this.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
All right.
And I guess, you know, he's seen like 5 Nights at Freddy's stuff. So, I mean, that stuff is pretty scary, too. So, I don't know. I guess right now I'm kind of on the borderline where, I guess he could kind of watch it.
I don't know.
Because he's seen all the other superhero movies. You know, I've taken him to go see Civil War, and there's lots of stuff going on in that. And Batman versus Superman, he's seen that.
Yeah.
You know.
Connor loves the X-Men movies.
Yeah,
Connor's favorite heroes. That's one of the reasons that we went to for Evan Peters was that he likes the speedsters, whether it's Quicksilver or the Flash. So
likes that power in general.
Yeah.
I don't blame him. That's a pretty cool power. That is. The the person that my son was probably most excited about, and we've met him before in Columbus, is Charles Martinet, the voice of Mario from the Super Mario games. Well, he's actually the voice of Mario, Luigi, Wario, and Waluigi from the Super Mario franchise. And that guy is, I have nothing but great, awesome things to say to that guy. He's a joy to talk to.
He remembered you.
And that's crazy to me.
Yeah.
I mean, how many people has he seen? And for him to remember me and my son specifically, that's, you know, just amazing to me that, you know, that he that he would remember us in general, and it just be that nice and warm and caring to us.
He was very. It was amazing actually to see. It's also amazing to see how he just kind of just will randomly go in and out of characters as he talks as part of his normal speech.
Just
talking to you. Hey, how are you doing? Yippee!
Exactly. Yeah, and just too, like, it's nice to know. I think, you know, like with a character like Mario, that the guy who voices Mario is as genuine and warm as he is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's nice to know that guy is portraying Mario.
Right.
You know.
He's like the Bob Ross of...
Voice actors. He is. Absolutely. So, he's like a guy that... Man, I'd like to just sit down and maybe have like a dinner with him, because I think it would just be... I want to hear what he has to say about his career and stuff. But, yeah. So, Charles Martinet, we got the... talked to a few different artists. Steve Geiger.
Steve Geiger. Talked to him and his wife.
That's right, yeah.
Both very, very nice. I was a little disappointed because I went back the next day to actually, because I was trying to decide how much money I had, what I was going to buy.
I stopped back three times,
and all three times he wasn't at the table, so.
Yeah.
I felt a little bit bad about that because I told him I'd be back. But.
Yeah, that was, I guess, that if we're talking about the con in general, that was kind of one of the things that was kind of surprising to us, is that it didn't seem like the attendance was very high.
Oh,
yeah.
With the exception on Saturday of the people who were there to see wrestler Finn Balor.
Yeah, that's right.
And for the people there to see Evan Peters on Sunday, and to a lesser extent Charlie Cox, but there was a lot of people there for that. But other than that, you could just walk up to an artist and have a long conversation.
Which is nice for...
For me, it was great.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I did feel like I was bothering them.
Yeah.
The lead character designer of Archer, his name's Sam Ellis, was there. He also does some work with Adventure Time.
Mm-hmm.
I had a wonderful experience with him. And he... I got some super cool secret stuff from him.
Yeah.
I won't talk about.
Hey, we can't. I don't think we're privy to say that.
Little illicit trades going. No. We got him lunch a day or two. I mean, it's very nice, very talkative, friendly. And then did some drawings and stuff for me, sketches. Who else did we meet? Ron Frenz,
yeah.
He was very nice. He remembered my son on the second day from the first day.
Oh, that's awesome.
And the first day, my son had a Captain America shirt on, had his face painted like a Captain America mask. On the second day, he dressed up, because Evan Peters, he dressed up like Quicksilver. And Ron Frenz saw him and said, "Hey, Quicksilver, I know your secret identity. You're Captain America."
Oh, that's
so
awesome.
It was nice. I got a sketch from him as well. He did Flash for us.
I would have liked to have gotten a sketch from him. I didn't get the opportunity to do that, but just going back and looking at all of his work that he's done, I mean, some really iconic Spider-Man books from back in the day, like probably during the time frame where I was probably most passionate about getting Spider-Man comic books
is
from the time period that he drew.
Well, certainly. He kind of led up to the McFarlane era. And the, I'd be like, fourth grade, third grade, fifth grade, me was, if not buying those comics, reading them from the school library at various times. And so those were the ones. And the writers of those comics, who later became editor-in-chief of Marvel Comics, Tom DeFalco was there as well at the convention. I got him to sign. I felt a little bad. I tried to word it better with Tom DeFalco than I did Ron Frenz, because I was like, you know, because I was explaining to trying to explain to him that when I think of Spider-Man, they're the Spider-Man that's my first memory, other than the cartoon or whatever.
They're my
first memory of Spider-Man in the comic book form. And I might have worded a little bit worse with Ron Frenz, where he was both flattered and insulted, because I was like, when I think of Spider-Man from my childhood, you know, here's a 40-some-year-old guy standing in front of you talking about his childhood. And
I'm not trying to say, you know.
Yeah. And I tried to back out. I was like, well, I was 30 at the time. But we stand over him like idiots, watching him draw the Flash for us. And it was nice. And Tom DeFalco the same way. He was very nice and cordial and signed my comics. And...
Good deal, good deal. Yeah. And then... Sam, you got.
I got to like meet a lot of like you guys got to meet a lot of artists. Got to meet an actual Steve Hannon. He's
a cosplayer, right?
He's a cosplayer, yeah. And he also has a cos camp area in College Corner, Ohio, that. That he has, they have go-karts and campground stuff and everything. And I guess he's on Facebook. If you look up Geek Out 3.5 on Facebook, you'll see the event and get some more information about his cosplay and everything else. So it was nice meeting him there at the Comic-Con. And, you know, just seeing, I mean, even though attendance seemed like there wasn't that many people, I think everyone who was there like enjoyed it.
I would totally say, certainly.
I mean, I don't know, I think I discussed this a little bit. I got kind of like a little bit of the inside scoop of what's going on there, that apparently Wizard World bought the convention, the rights to the convention off of someone else. There were some shady things going on, but then so you've got some people who don't want to be associated with the shady things, then you've got some people who don't like the fact that corporate Wizard World bought the local convention. And so they stick to their other, there's two other conventions that go on there. So,
and plus there was the, you know, about two and a half hours away, there was the Akron City Comic-Con.
You're probably not going to get as much Ohio traffic.
Because,
you know, missing out on seeing Alan Davis and Alan Grant. Sad day for that, but hey, their loss, our gain.
Exactly.
No lines.
Yep. Yeah, I know.
Except for Evan Peters. That line was awful. I also, not that he will ever hear this, but there was one Wizard World employee who was so nice to my kid. After, because there was lots of weird things going on with this Evan Peters signing and the way they were doing it, and they didn't seem to know what was going on with it. Long story short, he was extra special nice. If I had his name, I'd say what it was, just to give him some sort of recognition. But he gave my kid Great Nerds, so...
Oh, man.
All right.
That's all right, yeah.
And ensured that I got an autograph, so, hey.
Very cool. Heck yeah. Heck yeah. I guess that's our Comic-Con recap for Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Oh, one last thing.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
That pop vendor.
Oh, yes.
I don't remember the name. Hold on a second. Yeah. Wow, I'm going to talk about it while we find the name.
Yeah,
they had a stand there, and you could buy one of their, I don't know if you call it a tankard or what, but it's a big
like
metal
a,
cup.
Like a grog, almost. I don't know if...
It was, depending on which one you got, $15, $20, or $25. What was the name?
It's called Wild Bill's Old Fashioned Soda Pop Company.
There you go.
WildBillsSoda.com.
www.wildbillsoda.com.
There you go.
About the cup. The cup is huge. Holds like 36 ounces.
Woo!
That's right.
$15, $20, $25, depending on whether or not you got the small one, bigger one, or the insulated one. They're not paying me for this, but it was once you bought that, it was free refills the whole day. They had sarsaparilla, they had vanilla cream soda, they had orange cream soda. Mm-hmm.
Which was really good. Was I so did good. Have that. Yeah, that was the good.
The black cherry was so good. I don't want to... It taste. This is a compliment in every way. So it tasted like melted icy without extra water in it. I mean, the cherry flavor was it's fantastic. And apparently if you take your cup back to any other Wizard World they're at, it's $5 free refills for the whole day.
That's a good deal. Exactly. Because if you don't go that route, I actually, the first day that we were there, I bought a small lemonade for my son. And the small lemonade cost $3.95. So
I bought a combo meal, a hamburger, french fries, and a drink. And the drink would best be described as a shot of cola with ice.
Yeah,
so and it was like $11. That, so
yeah, and
like the, like we were saying, the cups, the mugs. I feel like you know, I'm when I'm drinking this thing, I feel like a king. So
yeah. There you go.
When I'm at home with it and I'm drinking, I treat my wife like a serving wench.
Hand me my ale.
Yes, she gets. I really don't.
Yeah. So pro tip, if you're going to a Comic-Con and you see a Wild Bill soda stand, and if you're a fan of soda, you might want to hit that place up.
Yeah. So. It's really good.
Very good. Yep. Absolutely. The I guess that's it for the Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now I think we're going to get a little strange maybe.
Yeah.
And talk about Doctor Strange, the film with the Benedict Cumberbatch. A little bit hard to get that out there for a second. I don't know why.
It's his own
but
fault for having the long
I know. Come on. Just, can't you just go with Ben? Come on.
Yeah.
Just go Ben. Ben Seabatch.
Yeah.
Ben Seabatch.
Hey, Seabatch. What's going
C-Batch.
On?
The, so if you heard her first, Seabatch.
Seabatch.
The, so yeah, let's. We all got to see it over the weekend. Yep. What did you guys think, in general?
Oh, I loved it.
I did too.
It was really good.
Yeah, and in terms of like the other Marvel movies, it did have kind of a different feel to it. You know, yeah. Since it's more of like a, you know, magical. And you know, it takes place. You know, it's not so much superpowered people. You know, where they're just you know, strength or whatever or. Even like an Iron Man suit or anything like that. Everything's more mystical in nature.
Yes.
You know, the effects I thought were awesome.
You know, yeah, just, absolutely. Man,
that's the one thing I would say. Like, if you went and saw this movie, you know, you wanted to see it on the biggest, best screen you can get.
Yeah. We saw it in 3D.
Yeah, yeah.
It was one of the few movies where I've said I'm happy that I saw it in 3D.
Yeah, because I think it totally added to the... To the experience.
Oh yeah.
The fight sequences where the, you know, the buildings, the, you know, the whole world really is like unfolding and refolding and bending in on itself and opening up. I mean, it's literally something I don't think I've ever really seen that type of effect before.
Yeah, even, the closest is Inception, yeah, really.
Exactly. But even that's not,
but it's not the same.
Yeah, not the same. And it's used in such a great effect, I think, in the film where, you know, when you see them fighting and doing that, it's really, really pretty cool.
We learned not to text and drive at the same time.
Yeah, don't text and drive at the same time.
Yeah.
That's a lesson learned that Stephen Strange learned
the hard way. Yeah.
So there might be some spoilers. Maybe we should... Before we get
into
it. I mean, if you know Doctor Strange,
well, no, we'll probably get a little spoilery here for the next few minutes, but not
too bad.
No, we're gonna totally ruin everything. But let's just be honest; it's probably
because we're gonna want to talk about it.
Yeah, so hey, just you know, skip ahead 5 minutes if you haven't seen the movie yet and don't want anything spoiled. I really, really like the way they did it. I like, I don't remember his name, the guy that played Hannibal as a villain.
He's in the Rogue One.
Yeah.
Star Wars Rogue One.
Yeah. I don't remember. He was in James Bond. That guy.
Mads Mikkelsen?
Yeah, Mads Mikkelsen. I really liked his, I really liked his villain in this.
I did too. Yeah.
He's a little vague, I guess, in the terms of, like, I mean, his motives aren't 100%. I mean, they're clear, but they're not 100% logical, I guess.
Yeah. Because he's kind of, his character is kind of introduced in such a way that he's already a villain. You don't know really
why, what led him to this path and
yeah.
what's gone wrong in his life that he wants to open an interdimensional rift that causes time to cease to exist. And, you know, I don't understand what he gains from this, truly, even after him explaining it. So,
eternal life or something, I think, is
but you're outside of time. And was that really eternal if you're outside of time? What's going
exactly.
on there?
And you got really weird, bad looking eyes. So
seems
to be a poor trade off. I don't know.
I don't...
If I want to live forever, I want my face to look okay. Maybe.
Mm.
I don't know.
Too late for that.
Yeah.
Oh! Oh, I cast some serious shade. it was a very clever ending, I thought.
Yes, the ending I thought was really cool, too. I enjoyed the way that they kind of did that. I don't know if we did. We weren't really wanting.
I don't know. I won't. I'll leave it at that.
But
I like the bargaining. I'll just put it that way.
The bargain. I did.
It's different than what I expected. So I won't go into that just in case someone didn't.
It wasn't what I had expected.
Not at all.
But I liked it too. How they did. The one thing I guess I will say, and I don't think it's too spoilery, but like the end fight sequence where it's essentially taking place back in time,
mm-hmm.
where we're seeing events going on, but they're fighting in the present. I thought I've never seen anything like that either, and I just thought that was just awesome. Just to look at that, the way
people fighting in time going two different directions.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. That's the best way to explain that, and I thought that was awesome. I mean, it didn't feel like a normal Marvel movie, but it still, in a way, still felt like it was part of that universe.
Yeah, it did. It felt abnormal in terms of the effects.
Yeah, yeah.
It felt normal to me in the fact of it hit all of the normal Marvel origin story points.
It hit all the marks, kind of like that. Yeah. Whatever the formula that they use.
You've got a flaw.
Yeah.
Whatever that flaw is will be your downfall in some way, mm-hmm. and you'll rise up from that.
Yep.
Getting a little Joseph Campbell in there, I guess. I can't say enough good things. And Marvel's track record remains untarnished.
Yeah, absolutely.
What is their weakest movie at this point?
I would say, like, maybe the third Iron Man, maybe. Because I didn't really care for it. Was either the third.
Oh, you know, the second one's the one I didn't like.
Maybe the second one's the one.
With Whiplash.
Yeah. I mean, it was okay.
I was okay. Yeah. It's not a bad movie by any means. Yeah. I'm just saying what's the worst. Still be a pretty good one.
Is the newest Fantastic Four,
Marvel? I don't consider that a Marvel movie.
Okay.
Yeah, those aren't.
I
mean, they're Marvel characters, but they're not Marvel
I meant Marvel Cinematic Universe.
The MCU.
The actually owned by Marvel still.
Because it does seem like they know how to incorporate their characters well into, like, a film.
Right.
Like, they don't... You know, even though they may change some minor details, I think it still just...
It still works.
You know, you get that feel... When you watch it, it feels like the character from the book. You know, it's not... you don't watch it and think, Doctor Strange wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
So...
And just also now, favorite MCU movie.
I'm
a little torn, but
yeah, I would kind of probably say Captain America: Civil War.
See, I'm Captain America: Winter Soldier.
See, I like that one too. Those are probably the two.
See, I'm Roger Corman, Captain America. No, touché. Oh wait, that was Fantastic Four. Wait. I'm stuck between my three favorite Marvel movies are the two Captain America movies and Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, Guardians of the Galaxy is really.
And so, good too. And that's just so strange to me that out of all the Marvel characters,
yeah. I really like the Ant-Man movie too for some reason. That just because it that one has such a different feel to it as well.
That exceeded my expectations because I had very low expectations.
And that's how I felt about it too, because I'm like, you know, Ant-Man never has been a huge character.
Well, maybe in Civil War.
That's true. But you know, he's never been like one that I've been like overly fond of.
No.
And when I saw the Ant-Man character in the Ant-Man movie, I was like, "Oh, this is I really like this. I like what they're doing with this. I like how they're going with it. The action sequences with him I thought were kind of cool. In a way, even when he kind of goes to the microverse or whatever he does, kind of reminded me a little bit of some of the stuff that we saw in Doctor Strange. It's almost like you kind of saw what they did with that, and then they kind of like built upon that for Doctor Strange. Like, they learned how to do those effects, and were like, hey, let's get crazier with this and take it to the next level.
Did anyone feel like when Doctor Strange was experiencing, you know, the magic and mystical powers for the first time, like, did anyone feel that they were watching like something, a show from the 70s with all the different colors going on?
And I think that has a lot to do probably with a lot of those original books where they kind of had that look and feel.
Yeah.
Well, certainly they were very, very psychedelic.
Yeah.
Not that I would know what that was like.
The colors, man. The colors. Yeah.
Just things I've heard of.
Yeah.
Things I've heard about altered states of reality.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I think that, that's probably purposely done that way. But yeah, I would say too, like the Winter Soldier and probably Civil War. I think Civil War just because of the airport
battle.
You know, not only that, but like the way that movie wrapped up too.
Yeah.
Really surprised me too, because I didn't really expect it. And then when it started doing the reveal where Tony Stark is watching that footage of his parents, I was like, oh my God, that's what's going on. That's who they are. They're his parents. What? That's, you know, it was all coming together. And I didn't see that coming, you know. And I kind of liked, you know, even though the Baron Zemo character was not like the traditional Zemo.
I thought he was a good villain.
Yeah, I liked it. He was kind of understated a little bit, you know, but like his villain, I would say, would be probably the only villain in any of the movies that has won. Or has succeeded in his task of trying to cause damage or pain or hurt to the Avengers. I mean, even though he gets locked up, he still accomplished his goal.
But at what cost? He doesn't have a purple hood.
I know.
He lost his sword.
Yeah,
for me it was Civil War, and then I think it is the original Avengers movies, because you really didn't see like a team movie, the last like good team movie, I gotta say, like, is the original X-Men.
That's the one thing too, that like, even I would go as far as to say in the Avengers you saw them as a team too.
Yeah.
Where they did things together. Because even in the X-Men movies, I don't know if you really saw the team members interact together and accomplish things together in such a way where... Because there's that one sequence, I think, that happens in the Avengers where the camera just kind of pans around.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Yeah, I remember watching that in the theater and just being like, oh my God, I didn't even know that
this is a comic book come to life.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it just, man... So cool.
Yeah, I had chills watching that scene.
Yeah, I did too. It was
frisson. Yeah, that's the actual word for it. When you get emotional chills over the experience.
Yeah, that's
your word of the day.
Word of the day. Write that down, kids.
But I even like when they showed Thanos at the end of the Avengers movie too.
Yeah.
I just remember I think we all
to fight them would be to court death.
Yeah, and as soon as they said that, I know what this is. You know, it was just like you knew the comic book viewers that were in the audience when they were all went, oh yeah.
something that Wesley from the Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yes, yeah.
Was it Wesley?
Wesley Windham Price.
Yes. He was the first one. He was the aide to Thanos that talked to Loki and stuff.
Was he really?
Yeah.
Interesting. So Joss putting in
his
actors. I like kind of like how
Allison Hannigan's husband.
Yeah. Yes. That's right. I like how Joss kind of brings it.
Takes care of everybody.
Yeah, he does. You know. I like that. Yeah, I do. I do too. Yeah. But yeah, no. Doctor Strange is. I don't think it's beaten Civil War or Winter Soldier or any of those movies.
No.
But it's probably it's
I'd put it on par with maybe the first Iron Man movie in terms of quality.
Yeah. I would say that too. The visual effects though, it seems like they did something like they elevated the visual effects to a degree to where it's, you know, if this is what they're gonna do moving forward. Awesome.
Right.
Yeah.
I think they establish a future villain that will ultimately be Doctor Strange.
Maybe,
arch nemesis.
Yeah, maybe we don't want to.
I'm not gonna say.
No, that's and I thought that was pretty cool too.
Yeah, I thought his reasoning, you know, how he came up, how he got, he or she got to that point, you know, is logical.
Exactly. Yeah. And it just makes me even more excited to see the next Doctor Strange movie, to see what direction that goes.
Exactly.
That's what I'm kind of excited about.
I don't
about
get a
too.
Feeling that he might return before that.
I don't think he might too.
Yeah.
I don't know if we check this, make sure to stay after the credits.
There's two after credit scenes.
Yes, man. I love that. I just love that they do that with their movies, that they have those after credit scenes. I don't know why. It's like
it's because of the shawarma.
Yeah. I think that is because of the shawarma. it gets me excited for whatever reason just to see that little nugget at the end just to tease you about the next upcoming thing, you know?
From the time Samuel L. Jackson first walked in at the end of the first Iron Man movie.
Yeah, exactly.
And then I was like, oh, it's the Ultimates come to life!
Exactly. He's like, oh, they got Nick Fury! Yeah, that's awesome. That is cool. So I don't know. We want to talk a little bit about the Flash, also.
Sure.
I think we're caught up with that. I believe, right? We're on what episode is that?
The five, maybe monster.
Yeah.
Yeah, the big holographic monster. The what do you guys think about so far? Like the other Earth Harrison Wells that they brought in.
I still don't trust him.
Yeah, I don't trust him either. I think he's up to something.
I don't think he's just a writer.
Yeah. Yeah, that seems kind of strange
to me, too. Here's what I don't understand.
Although he does kind of have the writer look to him, I think, where they kind of...
He does. But here's what I don't understand. It's like, are you guys so desperate to get another Wells that you're just going to just pick anyone from a different universe? It's like...
Yeah. Because, you know, to me, like, well, you know, we know from Flash Season 1 that the... Harrison Wells, even though it wasn't Harrison Wells, it was, what's his name? Reverse Flash.
Thrawn.
Thrawn.
What's his first name?
Eobard Thawne.
I can just remember EO. Captain EO.
Captain EO.
It's Michael Jackson.
Possesses the body there so well.
Moonwalks really quick.
It's really weird, but yes, no. But yeah, we know, like, who's to say that hasn't happened to one of the other Harrison Wells from one of the other Earths? So, you know, they could bring in another version of Eobard Thawne.
There is a Cisco.
Holy man. Never even made that connection.
You're welcome, America.
We're putting things together that have never been thought
of. That's right.
But like, question as far as that whole theory, do those guys really actually know the whales from their Earth? I mean, because
no.
Oh, you mean as far as
they never met Wells?
Yeah, the original Wells. I mean, so how are they?
No, and that Wells is a good person to even pick. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. That is true.
Well, they know. Well, they know secondary Wells as a real person. I mean,
yeah.
So they know at least one of the Wells has
turned out all right.
Yeah,
all right.
That is true.
And all I know is it gives me more Tom Cavanaugh on my screen, and I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I'm okay with that too, because like watching Tom Cavanaugh, I was kind of sad when season one ended because I thought, oh man, no more Tom Cavanaugh. It's gonna be And then when he came back, I was like, oh, Tom Cavanaugh.
Like, he's leaving again. We're gonna bring him back for some more. So it's just I think they rely on Wells a little too often, so they want to just pick him out.
But you know, maybe we'll have multiple Wellses, so even more Tom Cavanaugh.
Yeah, I would love to have like. Just 20. I like it actually just to become the Tom Cavanaugh show at this point.
The wells will never run dry.
Oh!
Yes, that nice. Happens.
Oh, nice.
That happens. The puns. Yes. The dad jokes are running wild.
What about the Killer Frost business? What about that stuff?
Oh, because Caitlin becoming the Killer Frost. That's...
She gonna go rogue.
It appears they're heading down the thing where she will inadvertently. It seems like when she uses her power, she loses control.
Yeah, it does seem like that.
It will build to that, and then I'm sure that they will. She will fall way, 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 and then they will appeal to her better side, and she'll either sacrifice herself on doing something good, or come around.
And Cisco hasn't vibed yet on anything that she's touched. I would have thought that...
That's a good point.
I would have thought something would have...
No vibing.
Yeah. Something would have snapped for him, unless he's really not working on his vibe as much.
Yeah, I don't know.
Before Flash. Because
he did do that. He did do the... Well, he opened the portal, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we haven't really seen much... More about the big bad, either that they have for this
alchemy, Dr. Alchemy.
Yeah. So, do you guys think that Dr. Alchemy is somehow related to that guy that's his lab partner?
It would make sense.
Yeah, originally I thought so, but these last couple episodes
kind of seem to be going away from that. I don't know.
Yeah,
they gotta have some. I mean, they got Tom Felton in there for a reason. Yeah. He might be gonna stick around for a couple seasons. Hey, I mean,
yeah, that's true.
What else does he have to do right now? So, but I feel like if we didn't already know alchemy, they wouldn't mask him.
Oh yeah, maybe that's true. Yeah.
Maybe it is Barry Allen from the Flashpoint. Maybe a second copy or something. I don't know. I don't quite know.
Do you think we're going to see Kid Flash more?
I think we're going to end up seeing Kid Flash.
Yeah.
I think so. But if you haven't noticed on the Legends of Tomorrow, Reverse Flash is still alive.
Oh, you did tell me something about that.
Yes, Reverse Flash is he's working with, I can't remember what villain, I don't think it really got revealed yet, but...
So he's not like one of the legends, he's just the
bad guy. Yeah, he is, him and another villain are setting up for something, and they're working together, and the legends haven't really met up with Reverse Flash yet, so it ought to be interesting. So we know Reverse Flash is going to be showing back up. Maybe pretty soon with a big event, being that, you know, now they have Supergirl, Legends of Tomorrow, and Flash all on one network. I think I heard some rumor that there's going to be a big DC television show event featuring all of them plus Arrow.
So
that'll be coming.
Like a mini Justice League or something.
Possibly, yeah. Or some sort of crossover, some sort of identity crisis or something like that. So it's going to be interesting. Yeah. And we got to see Jesse Quick.
We did get to see Jesse Quick, too. That was the one other thing. Yeah, that is true. Yeah.
And the Mirror Master.
The Mirror Master.
Yes.
Yeah. That was pretty cool, too. Yeah. So I don't know. That's probably enough for The Flash, maybe. Now we want to talk a little bit about The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
I haven't seen anything beyond the season premiere.
Yeah. Well, three episodes in, and after the shocking death at the beginning, I was surprised they so quickly killed Daryl. So.
What?
No, so we talked about the first episode a little bit more in detail of the season with the Negan victims and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Second episode is purely a Morgan Carroll introduction to the kingdom.
Yes.
And King Ezekiel and his tiger Shiva.
Yeah.
I like Ezekiel. I like that episode a lot. The third episode, I wasn't that big of a fan of, to be honest with you.
That episode was the heavily focus on Daryl.
Yeah, and them attempting to break him.
Yes.
And full disclosure, I fell asleep, so I don't know how the episode ended. So I fell asleep probably about 5 or 10 minutes before the episode ended on the couch. after a long day at work. So perhaps something happened in the last 10 minutes that I don't know about that might have brought it all together. But it seemed to be just a lot of torture. I guess you'd call it torture. That song was torture.
That song was torture. We're on Easy Street. Da, da, da.
So no, man, they,
that was torture.
Just kept playing it top volume for him.
I think the lesson that was being brought on that particular episode was the fact that, Negan has basically taken a liking to Daryl and is trying to break him. He wants him to be on his side.
Oh, gotcha.
And so, you know, different methods. And also, we find out why the character...
Dwight
is in Negan's camp, and there's some back history to that.
They're building
here.
And spoilers, people don't read the comics. Whatever, they're going to do whatever they're going to do. Whatever. But, you know... Dwight is scarred on his face because Negan takes an iron to it because he betrayed Negan by stealing one of his wives and her sister away. That happened in the comic, happens here. You know, you're getting... I feel like the two purposes were to show the downfall of Daryl and then to start you on the path to feeling slightly sympathetic for Dwight.
Which I know.
Exactly. Because comic book Dwight didn't have back history with a character. Comic book Dwight didn't shoot a doctor through the eye. You know, it was some random person who killed Abraham in the comic book with the arrow. So you don't have... There's a lot more hatred for Dwight for me, television show Dwight, than there was... comic book Dwight. Yeah. So, not that any of this will become important later on. No, they're not laying any groundwork there, are they? No.
Well, the television Daryl,
Dwight.
To me, he colors up more of a coward.
Yeah.
Because when they talk about actually what he actually did and stuff, it's kind of like, dude, you had a chance to find another place and you come back here and to Negan's camp and have to go through all that torture and stuff because maybe you're just afraid that you can't make it out on your own and a lot of sacrifice that you did. And to me, it's just, he comes up as a coward, and I'm still trying to understand everyone in Negan's camp. When Negan walks by them, they all have to kneel. I mean, you got King Ezekiel. He's an actual. He calls himself king, and nobody really kneels to him. But Negan, everybody kneels, and I'm like, how? Like, you guys gonna kneel? And you know, Daryl doesn't kneel. So.
Yeah.
So The Walking Dead is gonna be interesting and lead into, you know, the all out war storyline. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm looking forward to for that. And I will say Jeffrey Dean Morgan continues to impress as Negan.
Yes.
I wish we would have an opportunity to vote for him in the election. I would have voted for him. I would have gladly taken a knee.
See, I like him as Daddy Winchester.
Oh,
so.
Yeah.
Daddy Winchester.
I liked him as the comedian.
Oh, yeah, the comedian as well. That's right. That's yeah. right. Yeah.
So...
He's a really good actor, actually. And I think he's really shown his versatility.
I said that because I saw an internet meme today.
Oh.
That said, and I didn't see it until today, or I would have posted on Facebook. Bad word coming. it said, Negan 2016, he will shut that shit down, no exceptions.
That is hilarious. Oh, man. Well, we also have some new news that we heard about as well regarding Young Justice, which was kind of canceled a little bit early, but yeah. they're bringing it back for a season 3.
Yep, yeah.
It's exciting.
So that is, yeah, because I enjoyed that. I thought it was pretty good.
I just had started watching it when it got canceled,
and did you really?
I was pretty sad about that.
Yeah.
So I'd seen several episodes. It was very good. I enjoyed a lot of them.
Yeah, I always liked the Justice League Unlimited.
I did too.
Series mm-hmm. they had, and I was sad when that went off the air because I think the thing I liked about Justice League Unlimited is that a lot of the characters were kind of like more secondary characters, but they played, you know, based a whole episode off of them or something like that, and it just, you know, you got to see characters that, you know, in the forefront that usually were never really. That I wasn't super familiar with, I guess I would say, you know. Like The Question, I thought that was cool that they had him play such a big part.
Yes.
In a lot of those stories, you know, I thought that was cool. But yeah. But we have Young Justice.
We have Young Justice also. I hope they bring Wally back on Young Justice.
Yeah.
He is my favorite Flash. Out of all the Flashes, Wally West is my favorite Flash. So, they need to bring him back.
All right.
Tom Holland announced today that he whatever his contract is, involves 6 films of Spider-Man. So, 3 actual Spider-Man films and 3 secondary films of some sort. So, we don't know exactly what that is. They also, it's officially been said that Michael Keaton... is playing the Vulture.
The Vulture, yeah.
For sure, it's for sure he's
is
playing
it for
the Vulture.
Sure now? Okay, yeah, because I know there were rumors about that for quite a while now.
Yeah.
I always just thought that was kind of interesting because he did that, what was it, the Birdman movie. So now he's going to play another type of Birdman.
So he went from Batman to Birdman to the Vulture.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Gotta love Michael Keaton, though.
Yes.
Yeah.
Still one of my favorite Bruce Waynes.
Yeah, I would say that too.
Not one of my favorite Batman.
Yeah. Bruce Wayne, yeah.
He's my favorite Batman.
Yeah.
He is my favorite Batman. I
think for me, like just how memorable that first movie was going to see and how much mm-hmm. of it seemed like that was like one of the first comic book movie events that when that came out. There was like the Batmania thing where everything could buy everything was Batman related.
Yeah,
I remember having Batman neon glowing shorts.
You had Prince on the soundtrack.
Yeah, Prince. Yeah, Bat Dance.
The Bat Dance.
Yeah,
because that was off of that was you know the last superhero movie.
Yeah, Vicky Vale.
Vicky Vale. The last superhero movie before the Batman was what Superman. For the
quest for peace.
A bad taste. So we're like, when that Batman came out, like Michael Keaton playing Batman, and then you're watching, like, holy crap, he is bad.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, that was, I remember, there's been a history of that where you hear an uproar of people about whatever the casting might be.
Yeah, whoever's going to be the next Batman.
Yeah, it happened with Heath Ledger and the Joker.
Yep.
Yeah, it seems to happen a lot.
And that's true, and I distinctly even remember, like, when they announced Heath Ledger's the Joker, I'm like, the guy that's in that night movie? Knight's Tale? Isn't that what it's called?
Knight's Tale, like, yeah, 10 things I hate about
He's going to be the Joker? And I never could even, but then when they revealed some of the footage on the trailer and stuff like that as him as the Joker, I was like, oh, this is different than, mm-hmm. you know, and that's, yeah.
I was cautiously optimistic about it because I saw some concept art early.
Oh, okay.
And even though the concept art I saw didn't get used, I just thought, knowing him from a couple other movies that, you know, well, mostly Knight's Tale and 10 Things I Hate About You, but just knowing that he could actually act and thinking,
give him a shot.
See what you can do.
Yeah, like after those, you know, it's kind of like now I want to try to, you know, if I know the actor is a pretty good actor, I want to kind of give him a shot almost in any role that you do. Even with Jared Leto, is like,
yeah, I got behind the idea. I don't go much for the grill and whatnot, but
yeah, it's a little different take on the Joker. I mean,
worst things can happen. I mean, exactly. It's not as bad as Cesar Romero refusing to shave his mustache.
Yeah, that is true. I kind of like the he's almost more like a Juggalo.
Yeah.
Joker. The Juggalo Joker. So.
Spraying Faygo on Harley Quinn.
Yeah, exactly. That'll be in the next movie. Yeah. So, yeah, I think, I don't know, we have anything else to wrap up with, or?
No, I don't think so.
I think we're good.
All right. I guess we'll sign off now.
All right.
So, yeah, watch us on YouTube.
You listen to us on iTunes and Google Play. Also, the website, allofmyissues.com. On our Facebook page. Check us out on Twitter and Tumblr. And even Pinterest.
There you go. And Instagram, if we didn't mention that.
And Instagram.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for listening.
Later.
Bye.
Bye.